Hard melt him in moder hat mir skilde kaupa fleog fagrar ora fara brot med vikingo
fara brot med vikingo.
Hi everyone, it has been a while. Wow, I'm so happy to be back doing this. And if you follow me on Instagram, you guys know why I haven't been able to make any new episodes. But if you're new here or aren't following me on there, which I definitely think you should, my computer got drenched in juice. So I had to repair it and it took a very long time and very much longer than it should. But anyhow, I'm now back on the track and I really want to debunk this thing with so-called oath rings. Because there has been such a craze about that lately, thanks to a certain YouTuber. So now I think it's high time to debunk that shit. But before we dive into that juicy stuff, I want to remind you guys to subscribe and follow this podcast if you haven't already. And don't forget Instagram too, because that's how we all can interact with each other. And it's also where I post updates and information and such, as well as I post personal stuff as well. So if you want to have a glimpse into my personal life, then Instagram is a way to do that. So be sure to follow me on there. And on the speak of interacting, I have been using an app lately that is made by a pagan for pagans. I downloaded this, I think, almost a year ago or something, but I haven't been using it until lately. And I've really grown to like it a lot, actually. The app is called Descended from Odin, which is created by Taryn Huntley, and it is free to use, but there is also an option to subscribe for a low fee if you want to take part of exclusive things in the app, but this is totally optional and by no means a requirement to use it, which I find is fantastic. I am not sponsored in any way by Taryn or this app. I just want to let you guys know that there is a great app out there to try out for those of you who want to connect to other pagans all over the world. It works kind of like Instagram, but without all of the algorithms, which is very nice. So give it a try if you feel like it and thank me later. And please do mention that you come from my podcast if you decide to sign up to it. That would make me very happy. I have also invited Taryn to a fika episode in the future with me and Sam, so I hope we can make that happen for you guys. I think that would be super fun to do. I will put all the info about the app in the description box of this episode, so do take a look there afterwards if you're interested. Now, let's dive into the so-called oath rings. Let me start off with the historical stuff regarding arm rings in general before I talk about other things. Did people in the Viking ages wear arm rings for real, or is it something that came from pop culture? The answer to that is that they actually did. It was previously thought that arm rings most likely originated from Shetland or the Orkney Islands in Scotland between the ages 950 to 1100 AD, and these places were under Viking control at that time. However, it later showed that oath rings appeared earlier, actually in the Bronze Age, and I'll read you guys a text from Denmark's National Museum. Okay, so here we go. Some of the arm rings are called oath rings. These arm rings are open and have funnel-shaped ends. The name comes from the beginning of the 19th century, at a time when it was thought that one could find explanations in the Icelandic sagas of the use of objects from prehistory. Because of the sagas, the gold arm rings were viewed as objects used in connection with the swearing of oaths in courts. Although it later emerged that the oath rings are not from the age of the sagas, but from the much older Bronze Age, 1700 to 500 BC. People continue to use the name. The appearance of the oath rings can vary greatly. They may be larger or slender and of gold or of bronze. Often the oath rings are found as sacrificial deposits. And that's all of the text from the museum. So, arm rings is also said to have served as bonds of loyalty between chieftains and those who followed them, as a sign of allegiance. So, when someone accepts the gift, that is then a sign of loyalty to the giver. And also, it shows the receiver that the giver has power and wealth. Arm race was not only used for these purposes, but we believe that they were also used as portable currency. Due to that, there has been found fragments of arm rings, which seems to have been intentionally cut off the arm rings, because the ends of the pieces indicated that, in the way that they were cut. And it can therefore be assumed that they most likely traded those pieces in exchange for services, goods and such. And they were most often made of precious metals, such as gold or silver, but also sometimes bronze. And it was easy and convenient to have those as currency, because at that time there was no paper money or coins. It was also more easily defended too, if needed, because you would wear it on your arm and it's easier to defend that way. The Vikings were all about convenience. An early 10th century diplomat named Ahmed ibn Fadlan described that the Vikings would make neck torques to their women when they gained 10,000 Arabian silver coins, and would make one more when they had another 10,000 coins, and so on. So the women would have several neck torques on them, and each one in value of 10,000 silver coins. So that also suggests that the arm rings could well have had a similar system too to them. According to the sagas, arm rings were also used to swear oaths on in the courts, which is mentioned in Ulfljot's law, which is preserved in Landnamabuken, which describes the early days of Iceland from the 800s to approximately 1100s, and says as follows. A ring of 2 ounces or more should lie on the altar of every main temple. Every man who needed to perform legal acts before the court must first swear an oath on this ring, and mention 2 or more witnesses. I name witnesses, he must say, that I swear the oath on the ring, a lawful oath, so help me Freyr and Njörður and the almighty Æsir. Arm rings have been found as sacrificial deposits and in graves as well, so that could also indicate that arm rings could potentially also have been of some spiritual importance too. But people offered things to the deities that were valuable to them nonetheless, so perhaps there wasn't any spiritual importance per se, but they offered it because it was made out of silver and gold, for example, and that's valuable. But we can only speculate on those things as for now. So, all in all, arm rings appeared from the Bronze Age, and people in the Viking Ages just simply continued creating and using them. It's not something that was created specifically by the Vikings. So, overall, there seems to have been many uses for the arm rings back then, but what of them now? What are they used for in this modern time and age? The TV show Vikings really put the light on these arm rings with the story in the show, and because of that, it has now also become a pagan thing to have one as well. People, pagan or not, actually went nuts for buying these things, and it seems like arm rings are mostly used to make oaths of various kinds to the deities nowadays, and it was made popular to do this by a certain YouTuber, and people literally started obsessing over it. But first of all, an oath is something that should never be taken lightly, and it almost seems like so many pagans, and primarily the newcomers to this path, think that they need to make oaths to all these various deities to be a real pagan. There is actually no evidence that I know of, at least, that oath rings was ever used for making oaths to the deities themselves. Well, at least not outside of the court in the temple. Like, people wouldn't say, "Oh, almighty Odin, I swear to you, la la la." No, and I will explain that later on. Instead, in my own humble conclusion of it all, it rather seems like the arm rings were an all-purpose thing. And what I mean with that is that people used them as they saw fit for different things in different situations, for convenience, as well as being a nice piece of jewelry at the same time. People in the Viking Ages didn't use them for spiritual things like people nowadays have been using them, and almost takes it as an unspoken rule on how to be pagan. People are literally sitting in their dark rooms trying to find a fitting deity using Google and books, and that when chosen, like a lollipop from a candy store, is supposed to grant the person wishes if they make an oath to the right lollipop, aka deity. And that's literally insane, and potentially actually dangerous. It's a highly unhealthy way of seeing and treating the deities, which I have spoken about before in some of my episodes, like, for example, my unpopular opinions one. And excuse me for being a bit salty about this, but I am not a sugarcoater, as you guys know. I always speak as it is. First of all, oaths that are made in attempt of getting something in return is really not an oath. That, my darlings, is called a pact. Not an oath, a pact. And that's not something pagans typically do, if I may say so. And very many people seem to have confused these terms a bit. Perhaps if a situation is dire and desperate or something, then some people would perhaps stretch to making a pact as the very last resort. But that would be an extremely dangerous and complicated thing to do. An oath, on the other hand, is something far different, and you're not gaining any rewards for keeping your oath that you made. You only get to keep your honor if you manage to keep your oath, regardless of what that oath may be. An oath is simply put a solemn promise from you, something you strive to always keep. And an oath is more solemn because you would potentially perhaps invoke a deity as a witness to make your oath. And this would put much more weight to the promise that you make so you wouldn't break it easily or go around it, as one potentially could do with a simple promise. But no promises were simply in the Viking ages, because people really heavily relied on promises and people's words to each other. But with a deity as a witness, as you swear a solemn oath, you're more likely to not stray away from it, since you wouldn't want to fail in keeping it if the deities were involved, because that would be very shameful, not only in your earthly life, but also in the afterlife, if you wouldn't succeed in fulfilling it. It would take away your honor as a person, basically, if it's not fulfilled, and honor was everything in the Viking ages. And that is something that I actually feel that most people lack today. But yeah. And you would of course not want to be without any honor and basically be without worth as a human, because that is how they saw it back in the days. And you wouldn't want to feel ashamed and be down looked at by the deities or the people around you. And there was also said to be a special place for oath breakers in Hel, as well as the cherry on top, which Snorri Sturluson mentioned. And if you're new to this path and don't know yet, Hel is the name of the underworld in Norse mythology, and that's where most people end up after they die, but somewhere in there, there would be a special place for those who broke their oaths, and you wouldn't want to go there. So keeping it would be of utmost importance if the deities are involved, nonetheless. And note also that I said before, invoking the deity as a witness. That means the oath is not given to the deity per se. The deity is only witnessing to what you are promising as an oath. The deity is being invoked to help the person carry the oath that they are about to make, not anything else. And that's the difference between a pact and an oath. And what's the deal with the expectations anyway that you always have the right to or is supposed to gain things in return from the deities all the time when offering something, making an oath or whatever? That's just not how it all works. And I've touched on that in my other episodes as well. However, to be perfectly clear and somewhat summarize this all, in regards to the so-called oath rings, people in the Viking ages didn't really wear arm rings so that they could just take it up and swear oaths on them every other day when they felt like it. And you, as a modern pagan of today, is not required to do so either. You are not required to make any oaths just simply because you're a Norse pagan, and you are not required to buy bracelets to be able to do so if that is what you want to do. You don't need anything materialistic to do so, in fact, but if you, however, want to anyhow, you can use whatever, really. It doesn't have to be a Viking-style bracelet. It can be a necklace, it can be a ring, it can be a wallet. It could be anything. The thing with swearing oaths on things like an arm ring is that the oath would allegedly be strengthened by attaching it to an object. So if that's what you want to do, then whatever object would suffice, really. It doesn't have to be a bracelet. That leads me to say again what I've already mentioned many times in my previous episodes, that as pagans, you need to be very careful and skeptical to what you see and hear on social media platforms, such as YouTube, for example. And I know that many of you new ones who are joining this path tend to Google shit and end up scouring YouTube channels where there is loads of tubers knowing very little to nothing of what they speak about. Some people are just being twisted and such too, and maybe even both of these things. So please, to all that listens to my podcast, please still be skeptic everywhere you go. Can we make a deal on that? Be skeptical to everyone, me included. Always make up your own mind and don't blindly follow someone just because someone might be popular at a time, for example. But that also applies to everyone else. Do not follow anyone blindly. Always question, always analyze, stay healthily skeptical. Like I always say here, keep that skeptic lens on wherever you go on this path. I cannot say that enough. And with all that said, it is time for the Swedish word. And this time it is ed, which means oath. It's spelled E-D. Simple. E-D. Ed. And now it's time to wrap this episode up. And I want to thank all of you who listened. I hope you enjoyed. And I want to send out a gentle reminder to subscribe and follow this podcast and my Instagram if you haven't already. I'd greatly appreciate that. And don't forget to also check Descended from Odin out too. I strongly recommend that. All links are to be found in the description box of this episode. Lots of love to you all. Ha det gott.
Thud melt him in moder, hat mir skilde kaupa, flei og fagrar.